You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Ooh, it's time to probe the universe on Spaced Out, thanks to the spunky spunks at Stardome Observatory and Planetarium in One Tree Hill.
Spaced Out.
I'm joined by David from Stardome. Hey, David.
Hi, Alice.
How are you this morning?
Not pranked out just yet.
So. Yeah, I was just saying, off here, we haven't actually talked about April Fool's Day at all, but it is April Fool's Day this morning.
It is, but let's reassure listeners from the outset that there's no pranks in what I'll talk about today.
So even if you blow our mind with space news, it's true.
Yeah, I don't know if we're blowing minds today. There's sort of more small items rather than any big discoveries.
Okay, good to know. Well, let's get into it. So I see here that SpaceX has launched a recycled rocket.
Yes, SpaceX, people might remember, has been in the news quite a bit because it's a private company that sends stuff up to the International Space Station, and they launch rockets. It's Elon Musk's company. And they successfully landed a rocket on a barge out in the ocean last year. Pretty much a year ago. And since then, they've landed a rocket that's gone up, that's come back down on land as well. What they've done this time is they took that rocket that landed on the ocean barge last year, fixed it up, refueled it, and it sent another satellite up into space and landed on a barge.
Wow.
So they've reused that rocket. So that's been their aim, to cut costs by reusing things that normally would just fall into the ocean. Now, they're not the first to do that. Of course, NASA, with the space shuttle, those boosters were reused. The difference being, though, those boosters from the space shuttle would land in the Atlantic Ocean. You wouldn't be quite sure where, because it was just coming down by parachute, and so that clear, huge area of the sea of shipping and so on, so there's no danger, retrieve it out of the ocean, and there's a lot more to fix it up. What SpaceX have achieved is to land it dry on a very specific target, and that means it's a lot easier and much cheaper to get that rocket back and reuse it. So that's what they've done, and what they've done it with is stuff that's gone into orbit. Blue Origin have used rockets a few times, but those rockets haven't sent anything into orbit, which is a much faster, more powerful rocket is required. So, yeah, SpaceX are gradually moving towards where they want to be.
Yeah, gradually. It sounds like, yeah, moving towards that reusable rocket. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to a fact about Kiwis.
Yeah, people might have noticed in the news in the last week or so that the President of the United States, POTUS, has signed orders retrenching a number of the measures that Obama had put in place to deal with or address global warming. A survey has just it's come out in the news in the last week in New Zealand, saying that about half of New Zealanders believe that climate change is real.
That's interesting. I would have thought it would be slightly higher.
I would have thought so too. But they sort of, that people hedge their bets. They, more people are concerned that the effect might be deleterious to themselves. 63%, mm-hmm. And about 60% that it could harm society. So that's a question, irrespective of whether you believe it's actually true or not.
Interesting, yeah. I mean, I guess that does kind of make sense from a how we perceive the world kind of thing. Yeah, I get the hedging the bets mentality.
Yeah. And it makes some sense. I mean, I would have thought that Donald Trump would be familiar with cost-benefit analysis. Surely.
You'd hope so.
He does that in his business, you know. And if you think about global warming and addressing it in those terms, so it's either true or it's not, and you either take action or you don't take action, and so you can draw up a little grid. So if you say, okay, I believe, as Donald Trump does, that global warming isn't true, and I'm not going to spend any money on it, well, fine. If it turns out that it is not true, then you haven't spent any money and there's no consequences. aside from maybe saving money, because if you do take action and there isn't global warming, then you've spent money unnecessarily, perhaps. But other people say, well, at least you've made the environment a bit cleaner and more efficient, etc. On the other hand, if you don't spend any money and it turns out global warming is true, then you're risking everything from economic, political catastrophe, social upheaval, environmental disasters, even war, perhaps. Whereas if you if you do spend the money and it's true, then you've saved all those catastrophes. So, on balance, doing something is much better than doing nothing. So even if you believe it or don't believe it, I think if you sort of think in the cost-benefit terms, New Zealand has got it about right and Donald Trump hasn't.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of fits in with that sort of pragmatic New Zealand attitude, I reckon, you know, like, oh, maybe yes, maybe no, but
yeah,
we order just in case.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty interesting. I was just thinking while you're saying that. I mean, you know, because obviously Donald Trump is so extreme, or he's got these, I guess, crazy ideas. I don't know if I want to. I'm trying to be a bit neutral here, not put too much of my personal opinion into it. But it's like, imagine if he came in and he had all these intense ideas, but he was also like really intensely into protecting the climate or something. You know, he was like an extremist in that direction. Wouldn't it be a different world? Anyway.
Yeah, true. But, I mean, the trouble I find with him is his views are simplistic.
I think that's really a...
There's no complexity or depth in what he says or how he seems to be thinking.
Definitely not in the way he's portraying how he's thinking, for sure. And maybe there's, I don't know, is there depth there behind that? Yeah, we could talk about Trump all day. Let's not bother.
Yeah, we'll do that another time.
Great, okay, let's move on. This one is surprising me because I did not hear anything about this. The aurora was seen from Auckland?
Yes, they were. A couple of days or mornings, people out West Auckland especially were able to see the aurora in the south. As a glow on the horizon, that was definitely not from anything that was man-made. There's been a storm, and the auroras in the north and south have been pretty good during the week. And, of course, there was a plane that went down to Antarctica on a charter organised by Dr. Ian Griffin, the director of the Otago Science Museum. So they got really good photos on that trip south, but it got as far north as being able to be photographed from Auckland. There were some photos in the Herald.
I did see the photos of the people on the plane, but it's finished now. There's no more chance to see it from Auckland.
I think it's died down now, so we'd have to wait for the next storm. But depends if you're more interested in seeing something beautiful or worried about the possible effects of it harming us.
Fair. Great.
It's just very unusual for it to be seen this far north.
Yeah, because my understanding is that maybe the bottom of the country, you can see it on the quite like semi-regularly.
Oh, yeah, definitely down in Chicago, Otago, absolutely.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, another one that has been around the BFM offices for sure, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
He's actually coming to New Zealand in July. He's giving two shows, one in Auckland, one in Christchurch. One in Auckland is on July the 9th. So he's talking about alien life, artificial intelligence, threats facing science, that sort of thing. And each of the talks is also followed by a Q&A session. So people, I'm not sure how they're going to organise that, but the audience have a chance to ask him questions. So, that should be really good. In Auckland, it'll be at the Vector Arena on July the 9th. So, it's a Sunday night, so really good that he's coming. Something I just found in the news today is NASA has released a huge backlog of files from their archives in public as a searchable database. There's 140,000 files that they've just released, and people go and have a look. I've had a quick look this morning. You can search images, videos, and audio. So I thought I'd just type in Auckland and see what I come up with. So it's a little bit hit and miss. I typed in Auckland and it came up with a photograph that includes Mount Ruapehu and Mount Egmont.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, two volcanoes peak through the morning clouds near Auckland.
I guess, like, near on a certain scale.
Yes. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I haven't had a chance to really go into it, but 140,000 files, I think, should keep people interested. It goes right back to the moon landings. I mean, it's right the way through. So
that's so cool. So is it mostly, I mean, you said you found some pictures. Are there also, what other kinds of files are there?
They're just images, videos, and audio.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we can get some audio to play on the show.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, all the moon landing audio has been available for years. You can get all of that, the whole mission, right from launch to landing. Now, hundreds and hundreds of hours.
I really love that, though. I love that NASA seems to be at least a bit interested in the sharing, open sharing of what they're collecting.
Well, they've got a bit better about it. I mean, about a decade ago, it was discovered that most of the Apollo tapes, because it's all videotape and all that, was just sitting in the warehouse, forgotten and rotting.
Oh, wow.
And volunteers, a number of them ex-NASA employees, spent many, many years going through restoring them and cataloguing them and sorting them out and digitizing them. NASA's wasn't so good for a while there. Yeah, it's pretty good now.
Realized the value of it, maybe.
Yeah. Well, it's a positive public reaction that helps, I guess.
Okay, and daylight savings ending on Sunday morning?
Yeah, tomorrow, well, tonight, so 2 in the morning, you get an extra hour, so everyone's got to put their clocks back an hour, so you have that hour a second time.
Excited for getting up early, you know? It's been getting a bit dark in the mornings, but
it'll
help a bit with that.
Yeah.
Okay, and finally, what's on at the Stardome?
Stardome, 12th of April, we have Yuri's night. Yuri Gagarin was the first man in space. This is on Wednesday, the 12th of April, at 8 o'clock. So every year we celebrate his achievement. So that night, come along, see a show about Yuri and the polar landings and that sort of thing. If you're 18 or over, get a glass of wine. And there'll be some special Russian treats as well.
Ooh, can you tell us what a Russian treat is, or is it secret?
I wish I could. You could waterboard me, and I still couldn't tell you, I'm afraid. I simply don't know.
Interesting.
I know that the Russian, is it the embassy or the High Commission, in the past has been involved in providing some things, but I don't know what they're actually doing this time, or if they're involved this time, I'm sorry. It's the marketing department.
If anyone is listening and you know much about Russian cuisine, I'd love to know. I have no idea what a Russian treat could even be.
Oh, well, I'd love to know too. I mean, I haven't been to the last few, so maybe I should get along to this one myself.
Yeah, it sounds like a great night. So that's the 12th of April.
12th of April, yeah. But it are 18 for those who want to drink.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, David. It's been very interesting, as always.
Nice to talk to you, Alice.
Talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, at Easter.
Oh, yes. Goodbye.
Bye.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.